morning we're going to examine God's purpose in choosing Israel. We know that in everything God does, He has a purpose. And if you ask anybody, who are the chosen people of God, you will get the immediate answer. The Jews are, you know, the children of Israel. And this is the correct answer. But only up to a point. To arrive at the full answer, we have to go back and discover what was God's purpose in His choice of Israel. And we go back not to Abraham, as you might think, being Abraham being father of the Jewish nation, but we have to go back to the very beginning, to Genesis. And we go to Genesis chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we will eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he goes on and on then, and then we go down to verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothed them. Now, there are some very interesting verses in this that tells us an awful lot about Adam and Eve, and in fact, even to about humanity right down to this day. Verse 7 reads, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now this is man's first effort to cover his own sin. The very first effort. And it is impossible for man to cover his own sin. Verse 21 reads, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. So here you had God shown Adam and Eve and us that He is the only one that can cover sin. And you have the first sacrificial killing of an animal, the shedding of an animal's blood, so that the Lord could clothe them in the skins of animals. So it is only God can forgive sins. Verse 15 reads, and I will put, and this is the most important verse, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this statement is biologically incorrect, because the seed comes from the man, and the fruit of that seed is the birth of a child. So am I saying that God is wrong here, or that he made a mistake? No, I'm not. This is a pointer to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was conceived not through any act of man, but through the Holy Spirit. This is a pointer and a promise that God made that he would bring forth a seed that would bruise Satan's head. In other words, destroy Satan. And Satan would be able to bruise his heel. And his heel was bruised in the suffering, the sweat of his brow, and the hunger, and the exhaustion, and the pain, and his death on the cross. But he rose again and defeated Satan. But this is the very first promise. Now, for the Lord to be born, God had to put a process into operation. And the process he decided on was that he would form a nation for himself. And he chose Abram through whom this nation would be formed. Now, Scripture gives us very little information about the early days of Abram. And many Christians and Jews believe that Abram, even as a young child, was a believer in one true Almighty God. And it was on the basis of this that God chose him to develop the nation of Israel out of. And the Jews have a story in their ancient writing. I was amused at this story. It goes that Abram's father was either a manufacturer or a seller of idols. At any rate, the house was full of idols. And one day, Abram's father found it necessary to leave the house, and he left young Abram in charge. And Abram grabbed this opportunity, took a hammer, and he smashed all the idols in his father's house, except for one, which was the largest of the idols. And he shoved the hammer he used to smash the other idols into the big idol's hand. So the father arrived back, and you can imagine his consternation when he walks in the door and he sees all the destruction. And he says politely, "What happened, son?" And the son turns around and says, "Well, an argument developed between the idols. And this argument led to a row. And in the course of the row, that big fella there, he took the hammer and he smashed all the other idols to bits." And very politely again, the father says, "Don't be silly, son. They can't talk and they can't move." And Abram was supposed to turn around and then said, "Well, why do you worship them, father?" You see. But Scripture doesn't indicate that Abram was a believer in one true God. The book of Joshua, chapter 4, reads, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor," is there Nacher, "and they served other gods." So, That is Book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 2. Chapter 24, verse 2. Now, it seems to me God's choice of Abram wasn't based on Abram's faith. I think it's a pointer to the unconditional election and effectual calling of God. He chose Abram. Unconditionally, not because of his faith, not because he wasn't an idol worshipper. It made no difference. He chose him. Abram didn't see God. God sought Abram. Now that brings us to the question, what was God's purpose in his choice of Abram and leading on up into the development of the nation of Israel? Back to chapter 12 of Genesis. And we're reading from verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now verse 2 talks about making them a great nation. And was this God's purpose? You know, we'll make a great nation of them. No. It was only part of God's purpose. Verse 3 reads, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, humanly speaking, there is no way all the families of the earth could be blessed by the nation of Israel. Before the formation of Israel in 1948, the cry of the Zionists was a Jewish state for a Jewish people, right? And to this day, Israel is an exclusive country, an exclusive race. And the reality is, even evangelism is not allowed in Israel. And in Israel, there is persecution, even to this day, against Christians, going as far as even the burning of churches. Now, there is very little public information given about this, and this is due to the strong evangelical lobby in America that supports the Jewish nation, and so on. Now, if you were to ask an Arab, has Israel been a blessing to you? You'd get a very surprising answer from them, like, you know. So, it's not talking about the nation of Israel. This is another pointer to the coming of the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we are beginning to see God's purpose in his choice of Abram, and through him the nation of Israel. Acts chapter 3, verse 25, reads, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thee, in thy seed, shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God's purpose was to raise a people for himself. And his purpose was to set in motion events that would lead many decades later the birth, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for those given to him by the Father. Now, who are God's chosen people? Is it Israel of the flesh? The nation of Israel? Are that who God's chosen people are? I want us to go to Romans chapter 9. And we're reading from verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who was over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It's not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now let that sink into your mind. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that for the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loathed, but Esau have I hated. And what shall we say then? Is there an unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom will he harden. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who had resisted his will? This question was raised by one of our younger members some time ago. And the hard-nosed and truthful answer to that is verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter the power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it was came to pass in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. There never was a time in the history of Israel where every Israelite was a member of God's household. It was always the remnant. In the book of Romans again, chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again up from the dead. But what saith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But have not all obeyed the gospel? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esau says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, had they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah was very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Who are God's chosen people? Deuteronomy 7:8 reads, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thy Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. This is Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. And 1 Peter 2:9 reads, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Deuteronomy, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And back again it's worth repeating to 1 Peter. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into the marvelous life. Now, what had God got in mind when he decided to form the nation of Israel? He had the death, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten Son in mind that would die the ignominious death on the cross for the sins of those given to him by the Father. Who had he in mind? Had he the nation of Israel? No. He had God's Israel in mind. He had Tom in mind. He had Mark in mind. Liam in mind. Dennis in mind. Me in mind. Revelation tells us our names were written in the book of light before the foundation of the world was laid. And we adore a personal God. He put all this into effect for you and for me. We are the chosen people of God. Amen.